Okay, so tonight I will give a talk about how we can find a little bit more peace in our lives and how to live a good life. Yeah. So yeah, we just come here together, human beings, we have our minds, you know. We're trying to live life to a good standard. We're trying to figure it all out. Yes. And how do we, so what do you want in life? Yes. If you look into your own mind, what do you see? Yeah. For me, it's quite a simple answer. I just want a little bit of peace. You just want a little bit of peace. And if you understand what turbulence is, I'm pretty sure you all know what that is. You've had times in your life where your brain just goes a little bit crazy. Yeah? And that's fine. To us in Buddhism, we call that suffering. Yeah, we call that, we see it as a problem. We see it as something that we could do without. So you could say one of the main purposes of our practice as a Buddhist is to overcome those stresses in the mind and experience more peace in the mind. Yes, it's a very simple idea, but it brings us as human beings a lot of contentment. Yes, a lot of inner happiness. You know, we can be one of those cool monks. You can just be, you know, cool and even-headed. That's what they say in the Buddhist scriptures when they describe a person who has practiced well. They live a life of an even mind. So you become a person which is not too high or not too low, but you just hang out in that evenness. So a lot of the time when we're meditating, we give ourselves that opportunity to hang out in that evenness of mind because there are no distractions. There's nobody pushing your buttons. So you can have more kind of, you can point your mind in that direction of evenness, of peace when you're meditating. Yes. And in life, you know, in life, we may get ourselves into certain situations where we lose our cool. Where we lose our cool. And I'm guilty of that too. because life as a monk is not as you may think it is. It is not a life where, not for all monks anyways, it's not a life where we're living in the forest, we have our own huts, we're disconnected from the world. We spend time in nature with the kangaroos and the birds, and there's nobody there to disturb us. We live a peaceful life. No one pushes our buttons. We can be cool and we can be calm. But that's not the case for some of the monks. Some of the monks are lucky enough to have that. But some monks, we have to work. And the monk next to me, he does a bit of work himself. And I'm pretty sure he's lost his cool from time to time. And I'm guilty of that too. It's sort of like you lose your cool sometimes. You know, I've been angry as a monk. Yeah. And that's normal. I think that's fine. That's acceptable. But I think what makes a difference is we can own up to the anger and we can try our best to not be angry the next time. Or if we do get angry, we try to remedy it by calming down, if you can, and then just being kinder and nicer to the people around you. Yeah, because when you're in a working environment, when you do get angry, the other people feel it. But yes, like I said, that's just normal. That's just a part of being a human being. Human being. And yeah, I think that's the one thing is, like, you know, when we come here, we are trying to make a difference in our own minds. And instead of just getting into the old habits of just allowing our minds to be angry and indulging in it and thinking that it's okay to get angry with other people or get angry at yourself, you start to think in a way where, hey, this could be a problem and this could be something which is detrimental to my inner peace and inner happiness. So we are working towards something better. Yeah. So we understand that. And just having that understanding, having that acknowledgement, prepares us for the future. So in times when we may get triggered and get angry, because we've done that preparation, we can sort of avoid it or not get caught up in it. And this is the process of having a practice. Yeah, what we mean by having a practice is if you look at, what I would say a practice is if you've been a Buddhist and you've been practicing for like 10 years or something like that, you've been practicing for a long time. And you just understand over time what the right things to do in order to bring that peace and happiness into your minds. So, just to try to understand it from a practice perspective, that you're not going to magically eradicate the anger within you, but it's something that you work on throughout your life. Yeah, and eventually you do see that it is something that you work on, something that you get better at, and you become a better human being. Yeah. So that's why, you know, in Buddhism, we kind of like this idea of growth. I always like the idea of growth. You know, you can't really expect a young person to come into this religion and become saints straight away. Yeah. But instead, you see a person's potential. Yeah. And you just allow yourself time for these things to develop. Yeah. Because you know, the Buddha's path is always spoken in a way where it's a gradual path. So we start off by just coming to the Buddha center, learning about the five precepts, trying to live a virtuous lifestyle, meditate. You're just putting in these causes. And through time, through growth, you can start seeing changes in yourself. You start to see that you're becoming a better person. You start to see that you're becoming a more calmer, a more wiser person. And it was one of the really nice similes that kind of stuck to me when I was growing up as a younger monk. Because sometimes you think about how much growth you've actually gotten from this path. You've given up your life. You've meditated a lot. You've listened to your teachers. And sometimes you just want to analyze and evaluate how you're going. And I just remember this one simile where the Buddha talked about growth and how one can kind of judge it. And he sort of used a simile of the hammer. He used a simile of the hammer. And sort of like coming to the path. You know, you're it's like something new. And it's like getting a new hammer. Yeah, you're new to the path. You get a new hammer. You know, they make titanium hammers these days and light. And they're easy to use. You don't get injured that easily. And you know, what do you do with the tool? You work it. You hit nails. If you're angry, you hit people. But we don't do that here. We're trying to go against that. And you just use a nail, use a hammer, day in, day out. It starts to show signs of wear and tear. After a few years, you look at the hammer and you don't recognize it. It looks completely different. It's got scratches on it. The leather's worn out. You know, the head's dented. But it's still the same hammer. But changes has happened. But the changes are something that you can't necessarily see. You can't necessarily see. You can't really see the day-to-day change of a hammer being worn out, can you? You can only tell after months of use, after years of use. Yeah. And this is sort of the same with our spiritual growth. We can't really see. We can't really see the day-to-day progress that we make. But after a while, 2 months, a year, we can see how much we've grown since the time we started. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the beautiful thing, I think, is there's no end. There's no end to developing these good qualities, because every time we are developing these good qualities, we feel good about ourselves. Is the present moment feel good practice? I just made that up. It's a present moment feel good practice. It's like if you decide to just to feel a little bit of like compassion and care right now. You know, how do you feel? You feel good, right? You feel a little bit of pleasure, you feel fine, you feel nice. So you can sort of sense that this is a practice that never stops. You can just do it for the rest of your life. And if you think about it, if you really think about it, the mind is quite simple. Yeah, if you think about it. In the sense of, you know, what makes you feel good. And yeah, like if you start to feel care or you start to feel loving kindness, you know, you just, how does that feel like in this moment? Yeah, it feels nice, it feels good. And if you practice that today, you're going to feel good, right? If you practice that in 20 years' time, it's still the same feeling, you're still going to feel good. So in a sense, this practice is something that never ends. It's something that we can continuously do until the day we die. And in fact, I think the more you reflect on it, the more you try to, you know, improve yourself in terms of the Buddha's teachings, you know, developing wholesome states of mind, letting go, forgiving, making peace and all these kinds of things. These positive mind states that you're developing, there's more depth to it. There's more depth, more kind of, just more depth. You can just see it, you know, differently over the, like how you practice kindness and loving kindness, 2-3 years ago, and how is that practice today? Yeah. And if you can just turn your mind to it, you can sort of sense that it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's all we, like, honestly, just living this life as a Buddhist monk, that's the thing that we kind of do constantly, is just to go back and just to build that piece of house, that house of peace that I was talking about in the meditation practice. Yeah, you know, sometimes we come here, you know, and then there's goals to Buddhism and blah, 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 blah. So how do you get there? And I think one of the ways to get there is to just constantly work at it and just build that house of peace day in, day out, and just do your best until one day, you know, something happens. Yeah. Yeah, something happens. So, yeah, and it's just reflecting on the teachings and trying to share something with you. And I think one thing that popped up in my mind was the teaching that was given by Ajahn Chah. It's one of my favorite teachings, and it just came up in my meditation, so I thought I'll share it with you. And it's a teaching of mindfulness, and you know, these teachings are always something to give you a little bit of advice so you can use it to help improve your life or make it better. So this teaching on mindfulness, so back in the day when Ajahn Chah was alive, so Ajahn Chah is Ajahn Brahm's teacher. In Kusala Hermitage, I have a portrait painted by one of our supporters. And she painted a portrait of Ajahn Chah and Ajahn Brahm. So anyways, so if you want to see it, go to Kusala Hermitage. That's a little plug for you guys to go there and have a look. And so Ajahn Brahm holds Ajahn Chah in high regards, considers Ajahn Chah his teacher, his mentor, and you can sense that Ajahn Brahm holds him dearly and deeply in his heart. So Ajahn Brahm would just recall this teaching, and it's a teaching about mindfulness and how this person from, I think, the eastern states traveled on a plane all the way to Thailand to meet this great master. Yeah, great master. It's like, you guys, you know, just imagine that. Just getting on a plane, flying off, just wanting to learn something special from somebody. Just one little teaching that could help you out. Yeah, imagine that. A little teaching that can help you out. So this is what happened. So he flew all the way. That's how you fly these things. So you fly all the way, he lands in Thailand. Has anybody been to Thailand? Oh, it's a very hot country. Yes, and when was the last time I was in Thailand? I was in Thailand, a few years ago, quite a long time ago. I stayed in some of the forest monasteries, and I think they're still pretty much the same. Yeah, you have kutis in the forest, monks just doing simple chores like sweeping. Yeah, you wake up early in the morning, you go in Pindabat, you hear the roosters crow, 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 crow. Oh, it's just quite peaceful, actually. Yeah, just going for Pindabat in the morning. Just barefoot, collecting alms as a monk. Yeah. So this is where he was going. He was going to one of these forest monasteries in Thailand, and this was a time when Ajahn Chah was very, very famous. Yeah, very famous. So people from all over the world was going there to visit him. So this one fella, he went to see Ajahn Chah. And he noticed that Ajahn Chah was very busy taking questions from just lay disciples, from monks. So this man saw what was happening and he thought to himself, oh, Ajahn Chah is too busy. I will never get a chance to have a word with him. Even though I've traveled all this way, I don't think I'll get that chance. So if I'm not going to get the chance, I might as well just make some good karma. Yeah, make some good karma. That's a nice little idea, making merit. It's one of these Buddhist ideas which brings a lot of happiness to people's minds. It's to make merit, to help one another out, to be generous, to do something for others instead of yourself. So this is what he thought. Oh, make some merit. So he picked up a broom and he started to sweep. He started to just clear the path, thinking, oh yeah, I don't get to talk to Ajahn, but I get to make some merit. So he was just sweeping, sweeping, sweeping. And then Ajahn Chah finished talking to the lay supporters, and he was making his way back to his car. And then he saw this Westerner, you know, it's probably just stick out like a sore thumb, eh? You can imagine that if you're in Thailand, or the Asians are quite small, and then you have the big Westerner. So he saw him. Ajahn Chah must have thought, oh yeah, he probably came from somewhere and wanted to see me. I must well just, you know, give him a little teaching. Yeah. So he taps the Westerner on the shoulder, and he said to him, if you're gonna sweep, give it everything you got. And that was it. And then he left. If you're gonna sweep, give it everything you got. Yeah. And years after, this man went to see Ajahn Brahm and told Ajahn Brahm the story. And he said that one piece of advice changed his life forever. I don't know if that's a big statement, but it changed his life. It made his life a lot better. It enriched it. It made him a happier person, made him a better person. So there's something going on there when you're giving everything you got. And I was just trying to recall one of my experiences of giving everything I've got. And I guess a recent one is I've spent a lot of time with Ajahn Jayar, who's the second monk at Kusala Hermitage, building the granny flat. Well, yeah, it's called a granny flat, but it's kind of more than a granny flat, if you've seen it. So we've spent the last, I think, year and a half, working in the afternoons, working 5 days, working 6 days, doing ordering material, talking to tradies, and doing a lot of the work ourselves, like putting up the plasterboard and doing the tiling, the painting, hanging doors, putting up the windows, everything basically. Not everything, but most things, about 80% of the building. And just having a few goals in mind when we were building it. So one of the goals was to try to make it soundproof. So you come in with the attitude of giving it everything you got. Yeah, just fully just giving in, just doing it 100%, and trying your best. And something weird happens, you know, you come up with creative ideas of of soundproofing it. So I decided to put in a second door. So I put in a second door. And then, okay, that will probably work. And then I was like, okay, what should I do with the windows? So then I was like, okay, I'll put in a second window. So we put in the second window. And then we put the plasterboard up. We put two layers of plasterboard. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, you come in, you give it everything you got, and then somehow you got these creative ideas that kind of just pop out because of that kind of attitude that you have. You know, you want to build something nice. You want to build something quiet. And, yeah, and just the result that we ended up with. You know, I don't have any building experience. You know, the only building work that I've done is what I've learnt in monasteries, you know. So you had to learn how to use tools. So, like just being mindful. You know, I don't really hurt myself. I don't really cut myself or fall off ladders or anything like that. So, you know, mindfulness is kind of helps you in that way. You're careful in what you're doing. Yeah. And just giving it everything you got. You do a good job. Nice paint on the wall. The ideas kind of work out even though you don't have any experience. And yeah, it's coming to an end of it all. So I'm kind of like reaping the results of my hard labor. And I'm actually a little bit excited. You know, monks, we're not meant to get excited over things like this. But I'm actually a little bit excited just to move in. Just to move in and see how quiet the room is. And see how comfortable it is. Yeah. And and I think it will be quiet, and I think it would be a strong building. Yes. And that just comes from just giving everything you've got into something. Yeah. So I'm kinda nuts. So I'll put up some tiles, right? I didn't like it, so I take them down. And then I'll put them back up again. So we're like, it's like 8 o'clock at night, and we're just scraping the adhesive off the back of the tile so we can lay them properly the next day. So, you know, that kind of mindset, kind of obsessive, but it's all right. But so you can sort of see that giving everything you got, just doing mindfully, you come up with a result like that. And I was just thinking, like, for people who are just chasing careers, and some of you are chasing careers when you come to this talk, and yeah, you know, how can you kind of be successful? I think one of the ways of adding that element to be successful in your daily life is to give everything you've got. Yeah, it makes sense. And then I was just thinking, it's like, just like one thing that's quite important for people is when they're raising kids, little babies. Yeah, and, you know, what type of parent are you? Yeah. I'm pretty sure all parents give 100%, hey. Otherwise, you know. So as a parent, it's like if you can raise your child by giving it 100%. I don't know how you do that as a parent, but I think there is a way to be able to do it. And you can kind of see the results because your kid will grow up. Yeah. And the kid will grow up, become a teenager, and as a parent, you gave everything you got, and the child just becomes a magnificent child, or a really good kid, or whatever you wish for. And where did that come from? It just came from just giving, you know, everything you have. to something. Yeah. So you never know, you know. Sometimes you need to just wait things out to see the results. Yeah. So yeah. There's always a little, that's always a little nice teaching from Ajahn Chah. Yeah, and so what do I talk about now? So anyways, I'll talk for another 10 minutes and then we can just open up for question and answers. Yeah, so I'll just sit here and just wait, see what pops up in my mind. If there's nothing, it doesn't matter. Because I think, like, with these teachings, yeah, they are important. But we've listened to so many talks. There's so many talks out there. And it's pretty much the same thing. Yeah. How many times can you talk about kindness? How many times can you talk about mindfulness? But I think it's a beautiful thing, I think. Just being able to just come back to those words. Just come back to those words every once in a while. For some reason, they just bring like inspiration and joy into our minds and hearts. Because we know, they are actually doing some good for us. Yeah. Just being able to have these tools at hand to let us find a little bit of peace in our lives, I think that's always great. I mean, yeah. Just being able to take time out to meditate is one of those things that is very important to the Buddhist path. And if you talk to the experts, if you talk to the experts, they will tell you the depth of your practice is, or the or how well you've been practicing is how peaceful you can become. That shows, a lot of growth in a person's practice, is the amount of peace that they can experience in their own minds. Yeah. And just dwell upon that idea of just being peaceful. That's a really nice thing. I mean, we don't really need to be peaceful for a long, long time. Sometimes, yes, that just sounds a little bit difficult to achieve. Is when you're sitting in meditation, you want to be peaceful for 1 hour. Yeah, sometimes that's really quite impossible to achieve. But instead, we can just learn how to be peaceful. Yeah, how do you be peaceful? I think one way of being peaceful is to live a good life. It's to live harmoniously with the people around you. Because you know, when there is tension amongst the family, the heart is not peaceful. The heart is about to have a heart attack or high blood pressure and get a stroke. So living in harmony, living well amongst each other, is a way to have a peaceful life. Yes. And it's just nice. It's just, you know, what more do you want? Just to be able to go to a place where you can be peaceful. Yeah. And I think, like, if you meditated and you have experienced some peace, and you've been doing it for a while, you kind of know what it is. and you can just go back there. That's how you develop peace. You develop peace through meditation. Yeah. So when you're sitting, you're meditating, peace arises in the mind, you feel peaceful. You know, what does it mean by feeling peaceful? It basically means you're in the present moment. You're not thinking about, well, you can think, but there's not things worrying you. Yeah? You're not anxious or you're not depressed. Thinking's okay. So your mind is kind of free from those kind of hard emotions or the difficult ones, the gross ones. So your mind is kind of free of that when you're meditating. So you learn that through meditation. You experience that peace. Yeah. And it becomes like I like to always say that it's, I don't know, you can say it's unique to Buddhism, but you can say it's like unique to what we've learnt in life. Yeah, I reckon. Just being able to learn to meditate, to develop that peace in meditation is something which is kind of, we decide as human beings, something that we want to learn and something that we want to do. And compared to like the other things that are readily at hand, like the excitement of going to a concert, or, you know, the feeling of purchasing something, getting something on the sale, everybody likes that, right? I got a bargain, yay. Or, you know, your favorite footy team wins, or you eat food that you like. You know, these kinds of things move the mind into like a certain pleasure. And we kind of go back to there because, hey, it is nice to get a Gucci bag at 50% off. It is nice to kind of eat your favorite meal. It is nice to hear a joke and laugh. You know, these are the places that we send our minds to, like these emotional places. Yeah. Something that we learn, something that we're used to growing up in life. But coming here and learning how to meditate, you are developing that skill of being peaceful. Just being peaceful, learning that in your meditation, and just being able to bring it up and feel peaceful in any given moment. So yeah, you know, these are the little tips and tricks, you may call it, that kind of adds value or kind of adds richness to our lives. It just elevates it, yeah. And then, you know, if you want to get deeper into the Buddhist teachings, becoming enlightened, all that kind of stuff, yeah, there's plenty of teachings about that out there, yeah. But it's sort of all kind of, you know, this is like how to develop a happier life or a better life, and you kind of live that life and take that towards, you know, the deeper stages of the path. It's like a happier way to get to the deeper stages of the path. So, yeah, I'll just leave you with those few words for you to think about, and I'll end the talk. So if you got any questions or complaints, could you hear me properly? Okay, that's good. Any questions, complaints, you know what, please do so. Okay. Very good. Very good. Anyways. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Ajahn Santuti.
Yes.
Thanks for the really wonderful talk, you know, on how to make ourselves happy and peaceful.
Yes.
Yeah. I got two questions, okay? Yeah. The Buddha was asking us to look inside, you know.
Yes.
Okay, look inside. Yeah, yeah. So to make ourselves happy, okay, it's not outside, you know, not going out to paint the town red or going to, you know, like streams of restaurants, have good food, all the thing, okay? Make ourselves happy. You think it is inside, isn't it? That is, that is minus our negative emotion or feeling, you know? Okay? Yeah, so, yeah, a negative thing, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
To up ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
That uplift is the long term one, you know. Whereas outside thing is just a short term thing. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a path of development and growth, and there's always new things that we learn and new things that we incorporate into our own practice. And that's why we come to listen to these talks time and time again, because sometimes our minds aren't ready for certain teachings. So that's why we listen to them, and then sometimes when our minds are ready, then we pick up the teachings, yeah. It just really, it just evolves and grows organically. I think like one of the things that I've been doing recently was just to give metta to myself. I don't do that. I notice that I don't really do that. I give metta to other people. I don't really give it to myself. So I've been doing that, and it actually feels good. So, yeah, maybe you can try that.
The second one, can I just quickly share? Yeah. Can I just like share, you know, okay?
Yeah.
I'm just showing how I how I measure myself, you know, for my happiness and for my the peacefulness, okay, you know? I always remember the Buddha saying, you know, the mind is the forerunner of all states.
Yeah.
Everything is mind-made. You know?
Yeah.
So I measure this through my... when normally, you're okay, you know. When I have this disturbing feeling, you know, emotion or fear arises, thing, okay, I look at it. I look at my mind, you know. Oh, you find it, you know, your mind is... there's something happening, okay? So your mind is holding on, you know, to the thing, you know, okay? So we have to work it. So we understand it from Buddha's teaching, in a, like a, you have to put, if you feel bad, if you think good, you feel good. If you think bad, you feel bad. So we have to up ourselves, keep putting on the negative, you know, thoughts to up ourselves, this thing. You know? Once you are up this thing, then you're okay. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my way of doing it. Sorry if these are simple things, but a lot of people won't understand. Sorry if you don't, you know, do not be annoyed with me. You know, I'm just sharing my, you know.
Yeah. It's all very good. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Okay, anybody else? Up the front here. Anyways.
Thank you, Ajahn Santuti, for tonight's talk. You mentioned earlier that you were a bit obsessive with the tiling. So my question is, how do you cultivate, and how does the middle way look like when it comes to giving it your all versus perfectionism versus things are good enough and being obsessive?
I think when I'm doing something, when it gets to always trying to do a good job, but what I realize is you cannot do a perfect job. You can never do a perfect job, but if you try to do a good job, then usually the job ends up looking pretty good. So, yeah. But then it's sometimes it's sort of like you get into this And this, you might get obsessive over something, and you just get to a point where enough's enough, and you say, okay, that's good enough. You just leave it alone and just move on to the next task. And usually the mistake that you've seen, after you move on to the next task, you don't see it anymore. So basically it's a waste of time, like obsessing over something. But then I think, you don't need to be obsessive or be a perfectionist when you're doing something. But if you do your best and you're trying to do a good job, you end up with a good result. Yeah. Okay, just the questions on the... Oh, any more? Okay, yeah, this one over there. Here we go.
My question is about how you find peace with the negative emotions more so than trying to shoo them away. Where you were talking about, let's say, metta and giving yourself metta.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you're going through life, you know, there's going to be those situations where you get angry and there's uncertainty and there's irritability and there's all these things. And I was just going to ask, how does the Buddha talk about, instead of trying to shoo away the negative emotions, actually say, bring anger and say, cool, your anger, what are you actually trying to say to me? Versus actually let me go down and let go of anger. So I was just going to ask you how to be peaceful or how to make peace with negativity.
Mm. Yeah, so I think you just learn that life is impermanent. Mm. The times when you get angry, it doesn't last forever. And maybe as a Buddhist, you're just encountering how to deal with these things. So they may feel intense or quite difficult to deal with. But sometimes, you know, these emotions, they're just far too strong for anybody to let go. And that's fine, that's normal. That's a part of having a human mind. Yeah. But what you get through time is you can learn how to be at peace with these things. And that learning how to be at peace with your experience of life comes through experience. Just going back to those times where you're angry, going to those times where you feel anxious, and just living through it, and then just understanding that, hey, this is just a part of life. And these things, they don't last forever. And just understanding that this is a part of life, we can accept it and be at peace with it and just carry on. Yeah.
And my final question is, do you think you can then learn things from like that anger and irritation and uncertainty, and that because we're always going to have those emotions, that then you can make friends with those emotions?
I don't ever think anger is like a friendly emotion. But you kind of learn I think you learn different things at different times. You can learn the danger that it may have on yourself and on other people. But then you can also learn that it's something that you don't need to take seriously, because you're not going to be angry all the time. It's just a momentary thing. And there's many lessons to learn. You can also learn that, maybe that's just a part of my makeup. I get angry from time to time, and I just got to watch out for that. Yeah. So I just think like these things that we call defilements in Buddhism is something that we are just gradually going to kind of encounter from time to time. It just really depends on the situation that we put in. That's what I've noticed. It's like if you live a peaceful life, you live out in the forest with the birds and the bees, you're not going to suffer that much. But if you live like in the world, in the workplace, people are going to push your buttons, stuff like that. Well, there's a little bit more suffering there. So yeah, it's just a part of life. you just understand it, not take it seriously, and yeah, you can, that way you can be at peace. All right. With whatever's happening. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Ooh, one more question.
Yes. Thank you, Ajahn.
Yes, Lin. Hello, Lin.
Yeah, interesting that you mentioned about someone press our button and get angry. I think I kind of learned myself that a lot of that coming from our conditioning. We can be cool for a lot of things, but once the failure that we think is good, and then someone seems to be challenged that, and then we very easy for us to like get that angriness.
Yeah.
My question is more about, we know that as a intellectually we should let it go. We know that's coming from our conditioning ourselves, even though we think it's good, but we don't have a right, or we should not be pushing to the other people.
Yeah.
But it's really hard. I mean, things that the kind of things that come, always coming, that we in a lot of other things we can be cool, and then we understand that, and but once that our button is pressed, then we can see inside that angriness is coming. How really to deal with that better, I guess, my question. So like,
yeah, I think
do you
like
accept everything, or do you just...
You can see how...
Thank you.
See how... You can just see the dangers in the anger. Yeah. You can see what kind of mood it puts your mind in. And sometimes when you get angry, you can stay moody for a long time. Yeah. So you kind of see the danger of that. You can kind of see that it's not making you a happy person. You don't even like yourself when you're in this angry mood. So when you're amidst the anger, that's when you can start to learn about it. So you learn about the dangers of it. You can just put labels on it in a way where when it happens next time, you try not to buy into it. Yeah, you try to let it go. Because sometimes I think, like Ajahn Brahm would say, if you program your mindfulness, like certain things will trigger you, and if you program your mindfulness, I'll find myself in this situation and I'll try not to get into those negative emotions anymore. Over time, the programming, letting your mind know how to handle the situation, that kind of kicks in, and that's a way to overcome these negative emotions. Yeah. I think just the one thing is we have to forgive ourselves as well, because, yeah, we just know through just living life, these emotions are very difficult to give up. It's just a part of having a human mind and body, yeah. But I think we can always learn from them, yeah, and try to actively do better next time. And that's what you can do.
Yeah. Ajahn Sanduti, just one more. Yeah. Ajahn Sanduti, coming back to the questions on anger, no? Anger? No, anger, yeah. Yeah. True, no? There's some anger, they're more intense, no? Okay?
Yeah.
But don't you think of the Buddha's saying, no? Patience, tolerance, and understanding are the highest virtues every man should practice, no? We should, you know, I mean, the next level will be okay. If it's too intense, practice patience, tolerance, and understanding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, knowing that it's impermanent is either one. That's the next level.
Yeah.
That's a saying from, patience, tolerance, and the highest virtues every person should practice, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of teachings.
That's all the tools again. Right?
Yeah. Okay. I'll just answer. Should I answer the questions on the screen? Yeah? Okay. What is contentment? How should it be developed? And how do you experience contentment in meditation in a daily life? I guess, like, what is contentment? How do you experience contentment in a daily? I think it just comes through experience. Yeah, just keep on doing it, keep on practicing, and you'll start to understand the landscape of your mind. You can start putting labels on things. You can start labeling, this is peace. You can start labeling, this is contentment. and all these kinds of things. So it's a journey where you know, as a beginner, you can't really put the labels that you learn through your teachers on the experience you have in the meditation straight away. These things come through, you know, practice and becoming familiar with the things that arise in your meditation practice. Yeah. So, in other words, the more you practice, the clearer things become. Okay. Sometimes I go to bed and I'm okay, but I wake up in anxiety or resentment. How do you deal with this? There's many ways to deal with it. Sometimes just see the impermanent nature of it. You could do that. Or I think a nice thing is to give yourself metta. That's always nice. Don't worry about the anxiety. Don't worry about the resentment. You know, you spent too much time dwelling in those things and they haven't been any good for you. That's kind of true, you know, if you think about these emotions like anxiety and resentment or even anger. A lot of you're wasting your time, really. It's not making you any happier. Is that, in fact, it's just doing the opposite. So, yeah, you can just see the negative effects it has on your mind. You try to let it go. Yeah. Just free your mind up a little bit and then give yourself some metta. Give yourself some loving kindness. Okay. I get frustrated with the requirements of life, like house duties, family duties, or work duties. Hire maid. How do I not be consumed by frustrations of things I don't want to do? Well, just do it and not think about it. Yeah, just do it. It's not a big deal. What's so bad about cleaning the toilet? I don't get it, why people get so worked up about cleaning the toilet. You're just cleaning the toilet. It takes 5 minutes and then you're done. Right? It's not what you do, it's how you do it. It's just a simple way of answering it. You know, when you kind of talk to people and then, you know, as a monk, you kind of give them jobs because you're a senior monk, you kind of give them advice as well. and sometimes you look at their face and they're not very happy with the job that you give them. And then you just let them know. It's just all in the mind. Yeah. So it's just really your mind state. Yeah. You can make a bad job good, or you can make a good job bad. So it doesn't really matter what you do. Yeah. It's how you approach the work at hand. I mean, like you know, we do crazy stuff in Kusala Hermitage. It's like one time we were working in the forest and it was like 40 degrees. Yeah. I was like, it's not a big deal. It's how you just approach it. It's the mind that you take to the work. So in the same way, you know, doing family duties and stuff like that, that's not hard work. That's very easy, you know. And the thing is, just why not try to become a really good cleaner? Yeah, I mean, how many good cleaners are out there? Yeah, like, see if you can get that looking good again, shiny polish and all that kind of stuff. So you can always find some sort of satisfaction, really. If you're mindful of what you're doing, you can find satisfaction in just the simplest kind of duties that you do. Yeah. You know, you have a dirty workbench and then you clean it up and you're mindful of it. Just that cleanliness makes you feel a little bit better. Yeah, there's something about cleaning up things that make things look better. It's like, I don't know why, but for some reason, the mind kind of sees things that way. So I remember we were just doing this project and we're just clearing up the river. So the river's been overgrown with invasive weeds. And we're just clearing it up, cleaning it up, and all the weeds are gone. And now you have this really nice river just flowing through. And it's like, yeah, there's something nice about that. So there's something nice about just cleaning up. I think that's true. It's like one of the comments that people get when they go to Kusala, they go, oh, it's a nice clean place. And that's one of the reasons why we like to come here. Yeah. And yeah, maybe you can take on that kind of perception. I have a nice clean house to live in. Isn't that nice? Yeah. Okay. Enough? Yeah, I think it's enough. Okay. Okay, we can respect to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. Yeah.